Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I mean, it's probably helpful if you don't eat orange peel in the middle of the recording.
I know. It went really into my lungs.
What do you think that does for me?
What do you mean?
When I'm trying to do a show and I'm looking at someone I'm talking to and he's eating orange peel. It's like a threat. It's like some kind of coded threat.
Just chiseling off a finger.
I didn't expect it.
Going, I don't fucking care. It's the Luke and Pete Show. It's Monday, and I'm Pete Donaldson, choking on orange peel. I just think I've eaten my orange. The orange peel sat there. It just seems like such a waste that I'm not chomping on it. I do it in marmalade. Why don't we just chomp? Why don't we normalise eating the acrid, pithy horribleness of orange peel?
But if you choked to death, and the coroner looked at you and they did an autopsy or whatever, and they said to your parents. Unfortunately,
this is your fault, dickhead.
He's choked to death at the age of, just the age of 41. So very sorry. Your parents are just going to be like, why has he done that?
Yeah, why has he done that? Maybe we failed him in some way. And I think they did.
I mean, mostly choking victims, it's going to be what, chicken bones, do you reckon? Bones in meat, probably.
Probably bones. Don't eat bones.
Is most of the choking victim, is most of the reason for people who are victims of choking to death, is it to do with stuff stuck in their throat, or is it they've literally bitten off more than they can chew and swallow and it's stuck?
I don't know. I mean, I guess you sort of like, if you're eating like a, it's quite, like chicken bones can be quite sharp, can't they? They can sort of get caught, can't they? Chicken and fish bone, I don't know. Yeah, I do not know. I'm not a choking expert. Maybe.
But what do you think?
What do I think? I can't remember what I've ever choked on. My mum nearly choked on a pear drop when she was a kid. So maybe it's just things that you're thinking you're biting into just slip down your neck and then right down there.
I remember being at a Sunday roast with my family when I was about 12.
Right.
And a big bit of beef got stuck in my throat.
A big bit of beef.
It's partly because my mum always used to overcook beef.
Right.
And so it was really chewy. But you didn't know any different because, like, I was 12 and I was living in Gosport. Yeah. It was like 1992.
You weren't dropping A5 Wagyu like you do every week.
Or 1993. Yeah, and I think it was just like, I don't think that I had any concept of that beef could be cooked in different ways, right?
Yeah.
And so it was just cooked like it was grey all the way through. So it became really hard to eat. And I guess I just thought in my mind, this is what beef is like.
Beef was always like grey and thin, wasn't it? And horseradish.
Yeah.
The thing is, I love a carvery at the best of times. Anything that allows you to eat horseradish or wasabi, I really do very much enjoy a bit of.
Oh, we didn't have condiments, man.
What? No, what?
It's just gravy.
Salt. It's loads of salt.
Well, yeah, maybe so. But, it's kind of interesting because my granddad, who I talked about on Thursday, he, even now, will only eat well-done beef. And I think it must be because maybe back in the day that like it couldn't guarantee the safety or something.
Probably a bit of that.
So he won't go anywhere near like a medium or a rare or anything like that.
Like Donny's steak tartare and have a bit of that.
Yeah, but I think, so steak tartare is an interesting one because you mix it all together with the egg and it's seasoned, it's got that Tabasco thing going on. That kind of makes sense to me as a texture and a flavour. But people who eat steak really raw, there's no way it tastes as nice as maybe just even slightly cooked. The consistency is so different, and I think it tastes odd.
Well, it doesn't sort of, I guess steak tartare, because it's all chopped up, you're kind of, you're halfway there, aren't you?
Whoa, it's the same with carpaccio, right? It's so thin.
Yes.
That it tastes good.
It's almost like melts in your mouth, doesn't it, because it's so fatty. Oh, man, I love food. I love food.
You're a big steak tartare, man. You
big
put steak tartare
guy. I just, can't have it in the house because I just chomp it all. So, Lukey Mirror, at the end of last show, we were talking about having opinions about people who are just doing their best and working hard. And
oh, don't fucking phrase it like that. You're making us like a right pair of knobs.
We are a right pair of knobs. So I've been working with an editor and getting old Wrestle Me shows up on YouTube, you know. So this editor's sort of going up, Michael, lovely lad. He's sort of going through all of the some of the shows, and he's kind of like, basically, we're talking about certain things like old pay per views in wrestling or films featuring wrestlers and stuff. And he's basically getting the audio and syncing it up with what's happening on the screen, and we're uploading them to YouTube. And we did one. We put one up a couple of days ago, and it's basically, are you familiar with the wrestler Kevin Nash, Diesel, Big Daddy Sexy?
I know Diesel, yeah. I know Diesel, yeah.
So he's an actor of some repute. He was actually in a Tim Robinson joint, the TV show Detroiters, very briefly, which is very good.
Right.
You know, fucking gargantuan bloke. He's really fucking right on, and he's just a bit of an inspiration. But he did a film which was. Originally, it was pitched as Kevin Nash runs through America trying to kill COVID-19 infected bats. Right? And okay. Like true indie films, you know, we've all known people who've made indie films. You know, the project changes when you get access to a school to run around with in.
Yeah.
And the actual film ended up, I think it ended up being called COVID-19 Invasion with Kevin Nash. And basically, a lot of homeless people who have got COVID are holed up in a school, and Kevin Nash has brought it upon himself to go and kill them all.
He's quite old now, right?
Yeah, yeah, he's old, but he's still a magnificent-looking creature.
He must be in his 60s now, right?
Cracking on, yeah. He's I mean,
he was Diesel, he was an absolute tank.
Absolute tank, yeah. 6 foot fucking eight or something. Like not even kayfabe height. He's absolutely gigantic, you know, well-proportioned, relatively good-looking, bit piggy in the nose, but he's a handsome chap. And he's, you know, if you could choose to be anyone, it would probably be Kevin Nash. He's such a hunk. And so he's kind of like tasked with killing all these homeless people in the school. And it's like proper indie schlocky kind of silliness and stuff, and Kevin Nash is barely in it, and we did half an hour on how funny this silly indie film was with Kevin Nash. We put it on YouTube. It was up there for a day when the director of the film got it, saying, "Hey guys, I made this film and this is the best review I have ever heard on it. I was actually crying at one point because I laughed so hard at your critique. If you ever want to do an interview, please let me know. That's I'm sweet. Game now." You know how awkward I am, Luke. This is the worst thing that could have possibly ever happened.
I think it's really sweet.
It is very sweet, and we will interview him. But I am just so fucking embarrassed with the horrible things I said about that man's film, who was just trying to
life
make a film.
Life comes at you fast, mate. I mean, you've got to stand up for yourself.
I know.
Do you want
I
me
know.
To help you with a couple of... Because you know I spend all my time like being quite outspoken about everything.
Yeah.
So I've developed quite a lot of coping mechanisms when okay. inevitably
when
this kind of thing happens.
Yeah,
I could probably give you a little quick crash course.
Yeah, okay.
So it doesn't sound like he's annoyed anyway, because it seems like he's taken it as a bit of a love letter, which I'm sure it was, because you're probably your own worst critic anyway. But I always say...
No, we were fucking horrible to it.
Right. Oh, dear. Well, obviously, I had to cross that thorny divide into TalkSport once, didn't I?
With Jim White?
Yeah, Jim. Jim was one.
Jim was one
definitely
of them.
One.
Oh, sorry, yes.
Jim was probably the main one, actually.
Right, okay.
But Jim was, do you know what? Listen, I know people have opinions about Jim White, and they're perfectly entitled to them, and Jim knows that as well.
Right.
But he was an absolute gentleman when I... Because I was put on the show with him after slagging him off.
Right.
Badly.
Yeah.
Not just on the podcast, but in a book. And I felt quite bad about that when I met him, and I realised that actually... to grow up a bit, because people are just trying to do their thing and you know, find their own way in life, and not everyone's the same as you with the same experiences and everything, and it's okay to have opinions, but you know, people are doing their thing. And I just fronted it up. I thought, I'm not going to sit in a studio with Jim for the next however long, knowing that I slagged him off and he doesn't know, because that just seems really two-faced. So I just fronted it up. I said, look, Jim, this is what I said. You seem like a nice man. I regret it. I'm sorry. And he was just the most charming gentleman about it. Ah, oh, it's the game we're in. Don't worry about it. Things happen. Which made me feel worse, I'll be honest. But About 3 months later, Pete, you remember he did a video for us for the opening intro to a Ramble Live show.
The sweetest man. He's so
lovely. That's how much he didn't give a shit about it. He was like, yeah, don't worry about it. I've said some stuff.
Certain producers of that particular vignette fucked up the sound. So we had to go back and do it again. And he was absolutely fine to do it again. So he did it twice for us.
Was that the obvious person we're thinking of?
Yeah, I believe so, yeah.
It wasn't Samo, was it?
Yeah, it was Samo, yeah.
Oh, it was Samo. Oh, Samo doesn't normally make mistakes. I thought it might have been someone else. He may or may not work for Football Weekly now.
No.
but anyway, so my point was just going to be that when you get used to kind of being in this game where you criticise people and you get criticised, and I'm perfectly happy for people to criticise me, as you know, I always just say, you know what, we dish out a bit of stick to everyone. It's fairly good-natured. Unless you're a Richard Keys or a fucking whoever, you genuinely are a prick, then it's just fairly good-natured fun. It's not like, don't take it personally.
Yeah.
And I try and live by that myself.
That's a good point, actually. It's not like we have had, we made a certain change on the Ramble, a year or so ago, and certain corners of the the fandom, I'm going to say, who genuinely feel that we're responsible for their childhood in some ways. We're quite outspoken and quite personal, very personal, in fact, in certain parts of the internet. And I take that as they're just reaching out and they're just, you know, they're just railing. And it's you cannot take that so personally. It's the price. Yeah. Imagine being more well-known than us.
I've had people say awful stuff to me online. And I know it's them, and they don't know that I know it's them because I recognise their profile picture and stuff.
Okie dokie.
And I've seen them in public or events, and they've always been like really lovely and pretended it's like never happened. It's a kind of a weird cognitive dissonance.
Yeah.
They're like, when they see you in real life, they then think, oh shit, that's actually a human being.
Yeah.
And they're completely different. Yeah. It's like a completely different category of interaction, if you like.
Mm.
And so I kind of get how it works. I don't care. So, I mean, you're always really good natured. You're always punching up, right? You know, it's not like you're doing a Ricky Gervais and punching down or whatever.
No. I mean, no. The posh people are all right, aren't they? They're fine. They're insulated somewhat.
I think genuinely, I think you are a good person. I think you're all right. And I think you probably don't go a bit over the top on the old posh stuff. And, you know, some of our listeners don't like it. But, I mean, that's what makes you what you are, baby. And these people who are wealthy are probably, by their nature, pretty powerful. So you're punching up.
Good. All right, fine. Well, that's sorted. Upper punches. the podcast.
So just, if you do have to interview this guy, just, I would take the bull by the horns. Just say, you know, look, it's all good nature stuff. We thought it was fun. You know, we were having a little bit of a laugh with it.
If you're making an indie film, the ideal thing is for you to become another The Room. You know, that guy's a millionaire thanks
Is
to
he?
The fact that he... Yeah, he will have made a fucking bomb on
How?
The Room.
Because he sold the rights to the making of it to that movie with, what's his name?
Yeah, and also people are renting it. People are, you know, it's on Prince Charles Theatre every bloody day, isn't it? You know, it's a very, very successful film. One of the most successful films that year, it would have been. Possibly all of them pirated, but still. Another film.
It's not a very good film, Pete.
No, it's not a very good film. Yeah, but like, you know, he's a celebrity now. That's kind of what it's clear that that's kind of what you. If you are going to make a film where you star yourself with a load of pretty lasses and young people and you look a bit weird, like that is ideal. and so if you know that your film isn't, you know, a world-beating important bit of cinema, bit of fucking cheap heat, to use wrestling vernacular, you know, fucking Diesel probably spent most of his time being a baddie. And he was just as successful as any other wrestler, so, you know.
Yeah.
It's good.
Nice. Let's have a break, Pete. When we come back, I want to talk about wild monkey rampages in Japan.
Let's do it.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
We're back. It's the Luke and Pete Show at part two on a Monday. It's the 1st of August. Lukey Moore, fucking hell, mate. Fuck it. Fucking hell.
After the dryness and the occasional oppressive heat we've suffered this summer, I see August as the final insult. I see August as like just the last month I've got to get through before the weather starts to calm down a bit.
Right, okay. You're a definite autumn fan, aren't you? You love the crispy leaves and the... Yeah.
I'd rank them as... Autumn first, then spring, probably, then winter, then summer.
Wow, that's strong. I mean, that.
What are you doing?
I like summer, man. I like it. Everyone's happy. I can see boys' nipples through their tops.
Sometimes with their tops off.
Sometimes with their tops off.
So that's actually quite an interesting cultural departure, because when my wife first moved to the UK, she was massively surprised at how quickly and often men take their tops off here.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not so much a thing where she's from, she said.
When I sort of finished playing football, I'll sometimes walk to the tube station with my top off. It's liberating.
Should you be doing that?
I don't know. I'm not doing it near a school. I mean, yeah.
Can PC Gordon get in touch? Is that a crime?
Yes.
I'd love to know if that's a crime.
Could I walk from five-a-side set-up to tube station with my top off? That's what I would like to know.
I'd love you to commit a few low-level crimes that don't. No one gets hurt.
Right,
no real victim.
Yeah.
You get put away, let's say, 3 months. I'll probably get,
Gordon.
I don't know, Rick Edwards in or something.
Gordon gets me out.
Ben to do the show for a bit. And then when you come back, you'll be full of stories. It'd be brilliant.
Like Ben's got time for that. Ben's on every TV show at the moment. Ben's getting so many roles. I'm surprised he's got any free time. I'm surprised he managed to do the old Jubilee, the old Platy Jubes.
Oh, yeah.
Crazy busy.
It was an amazing surprise when he popped up on that.
Yeah.
Weirdly enough, I'm sad
because of the flags.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, that wasn't his fault.
I know. Well, of course it fucking wasn't. But man.
I booked him in. I had lunch with him the day after that.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know he was doing the Jubilee.
Right.
And he said, oh, do you want to go for lunch? And we went got some pizza in town. The next day, just so happened to be the next day. And I saw him. I didn't know you even know you were doing that. And he was like, yeah, it's pretty full on kind of thing.
Yeah, fuck me.
But he's got there's some interesting stories to tell about that. But they're probably his stories to tell, not mine. But I can't remember what I was going to say. Oh, yeah. So taking your top off is like I think it's quite a British thing. More of a British thing than I realised. You couldn't do that in Japan, right?
No, and people kind of hide away from the sun because they don't want to get tanned, because that's kind of weird, kind of like they think that If you've got a tan, you've obviously been working outside, which means that you're slightly lower class. They're just the same as us.
I don't want to go out in the sun because I'll just get red.
Yeah, good point. Good point. Oh, yeah.
I'm exactly the same. But Peter, I promised before the break, speaking of Japan, there's been quite a few wild monkey rampages.
Wild monkeys.
Wouldn't keep me away. The police apparently turned to tranquilizer guns and attempt to stem the tide, according to the BBC.
Yeah.
42 people have been injured in Yamaguchi City. Do you know Yamaguchi City?
I do know. Yamaguchi Prefecture. Yeah, it's good.
Is it a big, big populous place? Tourist place? What's it like?
There's certain... it's kind of like in between... It's kind of in between two places, really. It's just before you get onto the island of Kyushu. It's kind of in between Hiroshima and Kitakyushu. So it's... It's beautiful. Absolutely stunning.
And is it something that would be improved or kind of reduced in quality by the idea of Japanese macaques marauding through the city, injuring people?
Yeah, you don't need it, really. Because of the lockdown, like a lot of Japanese wildlife, including some quite fucking dangerous bears, are becoming very emboldened because they haven't sort of moved, you know, closer and closer to the cities to get food, basically. And, like these macaques, they're real little shits.
Because... And I feel like this is another kind of sign, another kind of piece of evidence that, you know, when the world eventually goes to shit properly,
yeah,
and we end up living like a post-apocalyptic world, I reckon probably around 2025, when I just about make enough money to move to a nice house, I think that's when it'll probably happen. I feel like there's a lot of things that we'll look back on and go, well, we should have noticed that was going to happen because of that.
Yeah.
And some of it is... the fact that we had a 40-degree day and that everything's on fire and that a robot broke a Chinese kid's finger and macaques were marauding through Japanese cities. I feel like all these things add up to something, but I don't quite know what the equal sign is, what happens after. It feels to me like there's a lot of stuff that we should really be across, but no one's really taken any notice of. Like, for example, in England last week, a load of people were stuck in a queue for 72 hours in their car where... charities had to go to them and give them food and drink because they couldn't get out of England. To me, it just feels like that should be a bigger story.
Yeah, there's nothing that my partner has a bit of a go at me about this, but she will be very circumspect about where she parks and stuff like that. She obeys the rules of she obeys the spirit of the rules of the road. I obey the rules of the road, but I don't obey the spirit of the rules of the road, which is like, if I was in a big queue like that and I had access to the field next to the road, I'd be in that field. I'd be driving off through a fucking field. I'd be like, see you later. If I can get over a barrier with my car, I'm fucking off. I'm not going to sit
Murphy
here.
In that shit.
I'm just fuck that for a laugh.
Yeah. But then where are you going to go? What's the plan?
Another field. I'm camping in the field. I'll just stay in the field.
Because I feel like, and I understand there are some people there who may be unavoidably visiting family, or I understand there's a lot of people driving lorries and have to kind of do their job. I get all that. Aside from that, I want to speak to those people and go, how badly do you want to go on holiday, mate? Because, right, I don't think you're going for longer than 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And it's taken you 3 days to get out of Dover.
Yeah.
So at what point do you pull the plug and go, oh, we'll just go somewhere else?
That's the pragmatic ego, male ego, I think. It has to be. Dad is... He's got a horse.
They're stuck in queues. So they can't move their car.
Exactly, and also, they can't physically get out. But it's just astonishing scenes. And
Pete, is this us being old and boring, or did this never used to happen?
I think all of this shit happened, but it happened in the 80s, under the Tories, and it always ends like this. It always ends like this, and someone has to fucking clean it up.
And what part of me, because a big part of me feels like saying, you asked for a hard border with France, and now you've got a hard border with France. Mm. And that's what it looks like.
Yeah.
Yet you're still not happy.
No. And also, they did have the opportunity to help the French out with their staffing and increasing the provision for border checks and stuff like that, but they didn't want to do it. I think they offered them 0.5% of the budget requested, which
right
as a low ball is
not much, is it?
It's not much. So
that's like us getting the commission from the BBC type stuff.
Oh, spicy, Michael Spicery.
What about in the interest of balance? Speaking of the BBC, what about the blue passports?
What? Yeah, they are good.
You can look at that when you're stuck in your car. A lot of people were saying that like Britain, the UK specifically asked for third country status from the EU, and are now being treated like that, and are kind of like non-stop complaining about the situation.
And the two main candidates for the top job say that it's nothing to do with the Big B. I do like the blue passport. I love the inky Big Barrymore. Is Barrymore responsible for all of this? Somehow,
can I
possibly
just say, and we might have said this before, and I don't want to get in trouble for this, but I'm going to say it anyway, and Rory can edit it out if he thinks he wants to. Barrymore was really good on TV.
Right, yeah. Okay.
Wasn't he?
It's what he's going to edit out of that. Rory doesn't know who Barrymore is. He's similarly sized, but
Barrymore was good. He was good on telly, wasn't he?
He was excellent on television, and I think there's a certain amount of the blackballing. Do you call it? Yeah, blackballing of Barrymore that I think was motivated by homophobia in the press. So yeah, I think
before that stuff happened, which is obviously awful.
Yeah, no, I think afterwards as well. I think, you know, at the end of the day, like, people have been involved in much worse and maintained a media profile. He was unable to do that, and I think
Why are we now talking about Barrymore?
You brought him up! You shouted the word Barrymore!
Little quick gag. Move on. Go back to your point.
Get back to the passports.
You're talking about Liz Truss and Rishi Sunak.
Sorry, mate. Imagine if he decided, I'm going to run...
You're taking the off ramp.
Get Boris and Barrymore on the ballot, please.
Yeah,
the three Bs.
I think that the other thing about it, you'll bloody love, which I do passionately believe in this situation, is it's obviously just the people who can't afford to go on a really expensive holiday that get punished, right?
Yeah.
Because if you're super wealthy, you're gonna wake up and go, well, I'm not fucking going there. I'll just get a plane.
Yeah, I'll go somewhere else.
You know what I mean?
Well, again, there's that as well.
Can't get a plane either.
It's not the point.
Yeah. Because they're fucked as well.
Oh, dear.
Absolutely. I'm not going to go back to say, you know, King Charles being executed by his own parliament in the 17th century. I can't go back that far because my knowledge isn't good enough.
Right.
So I'll stick to what I do know. I don't think the UK's ever been worse.
I think it has. I just think it's always this bad. There's just more people writing about it and more people talking
about it. Do you remember in 2012 when the London Olympics, that was the last time the UK was good?
I think looking back, yes, that felt fun. I had a career.
That was Tory government. No, you changed your tune.
Was it not
2010 the Tories came in, mate.
No, but was it not? Oh, yeah, yeah. So when was the old 2012?
It was a coalition. Yeah. It was a coalition. Yeah.
If you keep saying, and also, like, I mean, at least we had a prime minister. You know what I mean? He might put his knob in a pig every now and again, but like, at least we had one who wasn't solely. These are people around this sort of go, well, I mean, they're not solely out for themselves. Ugh.
Yeah.
In the small...
I think it's remarkable how... So in 2010, you wouldn't have never caught me saying this, but I think it's haven't got to be a supporter of any particular political party to have this opinion. I think it's a pretty solid lock to say that David Cameron was much better than the fucking shower of shit we got now.
Yes.
And that's saying something. I'm not saying I support the guy. I'm just saying, like, he turned up for work. You know what I mean? He had like a suit on. And he tried to, even though he's probably quite a manipulative, two-faced bastard, right? He at least, you know, stood at the lectern and said the right thing.
Yes,
you know?
Exactly. He didn't laugh openly at people. He didn't, use racist language. He didn't. Yeah. Fuck people in the cabinet office. He didn't, you know, all that all that stuff. I mean, even if he did, we'd never know. It would just look like he was having a particularly opulent dinner. A big suckling pig for dinner.
One thing we've actually really not made hay on is, and this is in our wheelhouse, is the old Matt Hancock, black roll neck Stephen Bartlett interview, where just like, he says some amazing things. Like he says some stuff like, "Yeah, the only crime I committed in that office was I fell in love." It's amazing. It is amazing, the stuff he says.
Who's that stand-up? Who's that naughty Vine guy who was very popular?
Pete Dawson.
And he went on Newsnight with a roll neck to apologise.
Oh,
to
Dapper Laughs.
Dapper Laughs. That's the
you were the Vine man. You were the king of Vine.
I love Vine. And that was, you know, that was where TikTok ended up. And just apparently, I think we were in the same meeting. That kind of astonished me, but I kind of understand the logic. Like, kids nowadays, if they want to know something, they don't Google it. They just search it on TikTok. And so, you know, people who,
that's a problem.
Is it a problem?
Yeah.
Right.
That is a problem because it's absolutely, because there's no...
quality control.
Yeah, there's just absolutely no... So at least on Twitter, there's a verification with... I suppose there is a verification on TikTok as well, but on Twitter, it's almost like companies are actively and quite prevalently using it and showing who they like. TikTok, it's a complete algorithmic random homepage.
Yeah, but I think if you're searching for, there's an issue with a pipe or something, and you want to kind of get it through, you know, there will be some response, and you can smell responsible.
That's not news, is it? It's not news that you've got a problem with your pipe.
No, but that's what I'm saying.
You mean your house pipe, not your cock, right?
I think that's it. Well, I mean, there probably be a little bit of that in there as well. But no, I think if you need like a little bit of DIY or just something, instead of searching it, you can young people are way more kind of like visually focused and way more kind of like they expect videos and they expect explanations like that. They search if there's something wrong with some plumbing. They will just type it into TikTok, and there will be a plumber somewhere making a bit of coin, explaining how to do it. I mean, and then there'll be some mad fuckers from like China jamming like a cucumber down the pipe, and then taping it round, and then going, "Oh look, you can use a fucking cucumber to seal up your pipe."
I think I've actually seen that.
Yeah, no, exactly that sort of stuff.
My favourite TikTok accounts are the family who have got like an older, and he won't mind me saying this because he says it himself, quite fat dad.
Right.
And the two kids, and all they do is eat Chinese takeaways and say Bosh at the end of each video.
Okay, yeah, I like that. Yeah, nice.
Yeah,
nice.
Brilliant. Yeah. I showed you that. I shared that with you. The geezer who,
same
quite a young
me,
guy,
annoyingly,
who walks around pretending that he picks up girls all the time, and he's basically like a pickup artist.
Right.
But he's so like obviously a virgin that it's like not threatening, and it's really funny. And I can't understand hardly anything he says because he uses a load of like pickup artist slang, which makes no sense at all.
Okay, right.
Really,
you'll have to send that over. Good.
Yeah, it's entertaining to watch in a kind of way that, you know, when you watch a really bad audition on The X Factor.
Yeah.
Like that kind of thing. Yeah. I like him. I like, what else do I like?
What about
I
those
like,
lads on Twitter have their own pubs in the garden?
Yeah, I love them. I love those guys because they all want to be the bootlegger.
Yeah,
but they're not really the bootlegger.
No,
but they always like, aspire to the bootlegger, which I like the bootlegger, so I'm happy with that. I like them. I like what else do I like? I love the traveling families who do threatening videos to each other about fights.
Yes, yeah, they're a bit of a classic.
And occasionally,
yeah,
you get like an unlicensed boxing match with in a ring surrounded by bales of hay. I like watching that. There's loads of great stuff to enjoy on TikTok.
Exactly.
I've never uploaded a single video myself, but I do find myself getting quite addicted to it. And it's kind of remarkable to me how you can sit there and I probably could do 15 to 20 minutes of just a normal family talking through their Chinese order.
What I like about it's that family great. Is they're just kind of like, they're like a lot of crispy shredded beef in there. They know what's what.
Oh, yeah.
They know what's what.
They are right up your street, mate. Yeah, I'm telling you,
exactly.
Right up
and the
your
street.
And
the street is littered with MSG.
Anyway, let's get out of here, Peter. Maybe we could do a TikTok account for Luke and Peter. That's one for Rory. Give Rory more work.
Give Rory more work, for crying out loud. God.
His capacity for work is gigantic because he's so tall.
Exactly, yeah. He's Barrymore-sized.
You can fit more work in.
My kind of TikTok, we'll call it. And it'll be a Michael Barrymore tribute where we talk about our favourite Barrymore moments, going from his shopping centre, My Kind of People skits, to the one where he did that song.
and we'll do it all while eating Doritos.
Yeah, exactly. If we ever get
all right,
there.
Let's get out of here. That's enough for a Monday. We'll be back on Thursday, of course. We're still finding new players. Those new batteries are still popping up, so yep. Keep sending them in. Hello at lukeandpeteshow.com. We've bloody enjoyed talking to you, as we always do. Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your pods. It helps new listeners to find us. And the way you can also do that is by telling all your pals. Good luck explaining this show and describing what it's like, because we've never been able to do it. So we wish you the best of luck with that. But ultimately, just listen. Just listen to the show and enjoy it. You never know what Pete's going to do next. He's probably going to buy... What are you going to buy next? What's your next little project?
I've got to pick up a speaker, but it's stack related, so it's not really... It's quite boring.
Work. I'm sure you'll think of something more interesting in the meantime. Speak to you soon, guys. Take care of yourselves and each other. It's goodbye from me.
It's goodbye from me. Goodbye, goodbye, goodbye. Ta-ta.
The Luke and Pete Show is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.